Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Now, although COVID-19 primarily manifests as a respiratory syndrome, its reach can extend to many other organs like the kidney, heart, and brain, all with devastating consequences. Dr. Rafida Abdullah is a consultant physician and nephrologist at Hospital Putrajaya. She joins us on the show now. Dr. Rafida, welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. Now, the consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic have been devastating, but there's growing evidence that suggests that patients with or at the risk of kidney disease are disproportionately affected. I'm wondering, in your line, what you've observed in the past year of this pandemic.
Okay, thank you very much, firstly, to Astro Awani as well as to Hospital Putrajaya for allowing me to be here tonight and be interviewed by the two of you, which is an honor. So basically, what I, you know, as we've already been here more than a year, I can see a lot of a huge impact on my patients, you know, especially the patients I'm dealing with are those with comorbidities, with kidney disease. There are many, many issues, actually. Firstly, I think, although you know our hospitals are fully operational, but of course, people are actually quite scared coming to hospital. Therefore, they tend to present quite late and they're already very ill when they come in. So that's one of the problems that we have. The other thing that we have is that when the COVID-19 gets to our patients, particularly my kidney, my dialysis patients, the statistics is against them, because 1 in 5 patients, dialysis patients who get COVID infection will die. So 20% mortality, not only worldwide, and not only in Malaysia, but worldwide as well. The number is staggering. And the risk of getting infected if you are a dialysis patient is 100 times more than the general population. So, you know, this pandemic has taught me a lot, and the management of the patients as well is not desperately easy, because, you know, when we manage the patients, we're so used to face-to-face, we're so used to, you know, holding their hands and so on and so forth. So those are the things that we miss, actually, because this is a very chronic disease, and, you know, we really need to involve the families as well. So there's so many issues, and I'm sure my patients are affected mentally as well, not just physically, mentally, because these are not well patients. They're mostly probably semi-dependent, and they need their carers as well. So maybe they're alone in the kampung, they can't come, I know the families can't visit them, and all the rest of it. It is not easy, and it has been a struggle, and it, until today, it continues to be a struggle.
Dr. Rafida, what do we understand about the disease that puts people with kidney problems at a high risk? I mean, has research shown what the connection is?
Okay, so basically, firstly, dialysis patients, firstly, they're not strong. They're immunosuppressed. You know, when they get infection, they get a bad infection. That we know. Secondly, if you look at patients who go out for dialysis, you know, there are two types of dialysis. The dialysis that you go to a hemodialysis center where you dialyze your blood dialysis, you have to go out 3 times a week. Of course, the risk of infection is much higher than the dialysis that you do at home. So when you have to go out, in and out, you know, you meet other people in the center, that also increases the risk of getting infection. So there are two things: higher risk, and also when you get it, your body is not strong, your infection, you just go full on. That's the reason why they get into category 5, which is, you know, 4 or 5, they really get severe disease. And with that, on top of already problematic, when they have renal disease, kidney disease, they probably have diabetes as well, hypertension, and on top of that, they've got a very bad lung infection, then right, the mortality is high. That's the reason.
Dr. Rafida, is it safe for those who have been diagnosed with kidney disease, or perhaps even at the risk of having kidney disease, is it safe for them to receive the COVID-19 vaccination?
Okay, because of the staggering statistics I've told you just now, 1 in 5 die if they're a dialysis patient. That is the reason why I think the worldwide has been recommended that our patients get the vaccine. And it is a priority, as you know, in Malaysia as well. They are in the second phase. You know, quite a huge number of them. I understand there's still dozens of people who have not been vaccinated, but they are the priority because of this staggering, very poor, outcome in terms of COVID-19 infection. So And if anyone asks me which vaccine, any vaccine will be fine. All the three that is already been used in Malaysia, it's fine for dialysis patients. And please go for it.
Dr. Rafina, what do you think is the level of awareness? I mean, just speaking to both your patients, their caregivers, about the necessity of being vaccinated and the risk profile, you know, that attends to people with kidney disease or even the people around them. I mean, what's your sense of people's awareness?
Okay, I'm fortunate because I have a support of my colleagues. I'm also the head of, we call it COVID, which is a COVID vaccination awareness in dialysis patient task force, which is was advised by my Minister of Health, Nephrology Head of Services, Dato Ong. So we've got a team of nephrologists or experts who actually have a very active Facebook, engaging patients, engaging their families, giving out information. That's to me, in my opinion, in my center, the ones that I look after, they've been excellent. They have accepted the vaccination. Literally in my hospital, which I work now, Hospital Project, 100% of them accepted and very keen to get vaccinated. And the other thing as well, I have a wonderful colleagues who do does general activities on busting myths, you know, giving out facts, which is our NGO, MedTweetMy. I think they are excellent. We try and get as many people as much awareness as possible. Of course, we need to target, I mean, the ones who gets who wants the vaccination is fine. Those hesitant, you know, we call it vaccine hesitance, is are the ones who we're targeting. I think we've lined up many, many public programs, and we'll be engaging a lot more, doing a lot more program and engaging the public as a whole. I think I'm very fortunate that, you know, everybody is online, and I can't do it alone. They can't do it alone. We have to do it together. That's the most important thing. I urge everybody to do, you know, even a simple small thing. It will help the vaccination awareness and so on and so forth.
Can I ask you, Dr. Rafida, just to elaborate a little bit on that? You know, when it comes to building that confidence in vaccines and using the communication, there are multiple, you know, types of communication. We've seen everyone saying, well, you know, you've got to build, you've got to address the vaccine hesitancy. But how do we do that? What kind of approaches work? Are we looking at scare tactics? Do we, you know, put the fear of the disease into people? Or do we use, you know, fear of missing out? What kind of approaches do we take when communicating the importance of getting vaccinated?
I cannot answer for the whole population, but what I experience, I'm all for shared decision, informed decision. So every single decision I will discuss with my patient. So I put out those statistics and just facts. And most of them accept it, and they just keen for it. So I believe, I know, I'm sure there are multiple statistics, but I'm not a believer of fear-mongering and all that sort of. I think our population, you know, especially the younger ones, they're open to facts and they're open for discussion, but we need to be engaged with them. We need to engage them as well. So, you know, there is a lot of work to be done, actually, and I hope everybody will help us in doing that.
Dr. Rafida, you know, we've had a year of this pandemic, and the earlier efforts to flatten the curve were about building capacity, along with protecting the vulnerable. Do you think we've done enough in the last year to achieve those two objectives, building capacity and protecting the vulnerable?
Well, I in general, I can only comment what I see in my practice. I obviously cannot comment on the whole program as a whole. But of course, we have done the best we can. I think Ministry of Health has been excellent, you know, and the vaccination program has been ongoing. I think it's you know, over the last 24 hours, there have been activities showing that, you know, the increase, you know, all sorts of programs to reach the public. I think we have done quite a bit, and I'm sure everybody agree we can all do more. I hope that will happen in the next. You know, everybody will be helping us. I hope. Thank you.
Yeah, the Director General of Health talked today about, you know, a possibility of a vertical surge in the epidemiological curve, and I'm wondering what you are seeing in your daily work. Are we doing enough to stem this unavoidable wave or so-called unavoidable wave?
Okay, so I think we have predicted this for quite some time. I work in a hospital where I receive probably category 4 and 5, quite advanced patients who come to our door, and that's where I work in. So I'm unfortunate in, you know, a hospital Putrajaya, we have a dedicated team to manage the patients that come in. Therefore, I'm not really involved in the public health, but I'm sure they I can see they're doing a lot. And again, as I mentioned just now, we can also do a lot more.
All right. Dr. Rafida, thank you so much for speaking to us on the show tonight. Really do appreciate your time and you sharing your insights with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But before we leave you, as always, a reminder that you can get all the latest news on COVID-19 as well as information on COVID-19 vaccines at astroawani.com and the Astro Awani app. But thank you so much for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutson, signing off for the evening.
We'll be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.